to John chapter 3. This is a very familiar passage. As a matter of fact, in looking back over my notes, I actually used this same scripture on a Christmas sermon, actually back in December. But it's a passage that shows so much love that it is very appropriate, I think, as we approach Valentine's Day this coming Tuesday. John chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 16. You probably don't even need your Bibles for this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we just thank you for what we felt in this place this morning. And Father, as we worship, Father, around your word right now, Father, as we look at your love letter to us, Father, we pray that right now you would open our hearts, Father, steal our minds, Father, and help us to be attentive, Lord, to what you're saying to us this morning. Father, above all, help us to be obedient, Lord, to the moving of the Holy Spirit in this place. Father, as you touch our hearts and touch our lives this morning. Father, if there are any here this morning that are not saved, that don't know you as their Savior, are not sure, Father, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that they're on their way to heaven. Father, I pray that you would touch that heart most of all this morning, Father, and lead them, Lord, into a saving knowledge of you. Father, we just wait on you now and look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Have you ever noticed that Valentine's Day is filled with images of a heart? Even those little boxes I gave to those kids, their hearts. Their hearts. That's where true love comes from. It comes from your heart. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That was Jesus talking. We've got to remember that in the Bible it tells us that the Lord knows our hearts. He looks beyond the outside and he looks to the inside and he knows our hearts, good and bad. Whatever we have, whatever emanates from our heart, the Lord knows that. Jeremiah 17 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doings." You know, on this Tuesday for Valentine's Day, there's going to be a lot of cards that will be sent. There's going to be a lot of flowers that are ordered and sent. There's going to be a lot of candy that is bought and distributed. And it's going to go to people that we love, people that are close to us. But when we think about doing that for someone we love, how much more did God love us to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary, to show us just how much he loved us? When we look at this these two verses that we read this morning, very familiar, but I believe sometimes we've heard these from a child, many of us, and if we really don't stop and look at what this says, we gloss over the real meaning of what these verses actually say to us. It's our responsibility, it's our action that we should love God as he loved us, because he loved us first. He loved us when we were unlovable. So I want to let's just kind of break this verse down, John 3:16, just briefly, and just look at what this verse really says. And the first part of that verse, it said, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. You know, as I was preparing this, I really had to think, what had the world done, what has the world done today that would make God love us so much? Think about that. Have we as a world, a society, done anything that would cause the Lord of all creation, the one that made us, the one that gives us the very air that we breathe? Have we as a society done anything to show love and respect to him to such an extent that he would love us back. It's almost hard to get your minds around, isn't it? It really is. Think about Israel, and it parallels us. God's chosen people, Israel, they rebelled against him constantly. God would come on the scene and he would deliver them. And the minute they got on the mountaintop, they would say, you know what, we don't need you anymore, God. Just kind of get behind us for a while. We've got this covered. We're in good shape right now. And then they would fall back into rebellion all over again. It was one endless cycle after another. But God, even when they rebelled, he would allow them to suffer the consequences of their sin. But God was always there. God was always there. He never left them. He never forsook them. Even when they saw the miracles that happened in front of their eyes firsthand, it was amazing how quickly they would turn away from God when the first sign of trouble came. It would be hard for me to imagine walking through the Red Sea on dry land, the Bible says, by the way. Can you imagine that? With water, walls of water on both sides, walking through on dry land, and then watching the Lord bring those waters back over the Egyptians that had enslaved you for years and years and years, only to get out in the desert and start complaining that, I wish we'd have never left, Moses. You should have left us back there. How quickly they would turn away from God. But before we throw a lot of rocks at Israel, don't we do the same thing? Just think about this morning, just this morning as we were giving prayer requests and praise reports. Did we not hear several praise reports in this room this morning? Folks, that should build our faith. That should lift us up. That should remind us that even though things all the time don't go according to the way we have it planned, God still loves us. God still loves us. And he did then, and he does today. We've got to remember that when this verse says, for God so loved the world, all of us, me, you, we are his creation. We are his creation. We were created to praise and worship the Creator. That's why we're here. When rebellion occurred and sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden, that relationship was broken, and there had to be a blood sacrifice for that sin. In the Old Testament, the priest would sacrifice an animal, and that blood that would shed would signify the covering of that sin debt. But God, in this verse, tells us that he sent the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, the last one that would ever be needed and the only one that could cover the sins of this world. For God so loved the world. Nobody else could have accomplished that, and nobody else would have even done it if they could, but he did it because he loved us. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This verse, that first part, for God so loved the world, that actually shows his compassion for us. God has compassion on us. When we were in sin and we couldn't get out of it, he sent his son so that we would have a way. That is love. It was that love that held our Jesus on the cross. God loves us so much. That's what that verse said. For God so loved the world. He loved us so much that he took the necessary steps to ensure that me and you could have a home in heaven. Folks, that's love like no one has ever shown us. Look at the second part. For God so loved the world, what did he do? It said that he sent his only begotten Son. Have you ever noticed? Think in your mind. Go back. Go back to when you were dating as a teenager. Can you do that? That may take some work for some of you. But if you remember back when you were dating, doesn't when you fall in love, doesn't it make you do some crazy things? Y'all are laughing. It does, doesn't it? It makes you do crazy things. Most of you now would rather not talk on the phone unless you have to, right? But when you're dating, you'll sit there and you'll talk to that other one for hours and hours and hours. And not just one time a day. Every time you get a minute. How you doing? I'm doing fine. You know what I'm talking about. You do some crazy things. You do. You do. You know, you want to go and find them. You want to be with them. You want to be around them. You want to do things that are going to impress them. I remember when Ginger and I were dating one time. We were at the state fair dating, and I was trying to win her a teddy bear. I think I spent $50 trying to win a $2 teddy bear and still didn't do it. Every time I walk by that game now, I just look at it and go, no. No, I should own you. But, you know, I was trying to impress her. When Ginger and I met, when we fell in love, I did some of those crazy things. But we've got to remember that when we fall in love with someone, there's a response. There's a response. And my ultimate response to falling in love with Ginger was asking her to be my wife. Telling her I wanted to make a commitment to her and her to me. That was my response to falling in love. I made that commitment and I've never regretted a minute of it, and I intend to live up to it for the rest of my life. But folks, God does not need for us to try to impress Him. God wants our commitment. That's what He wants. We don't have to impress Him. By the way, it doesn't matter where you are, how you dress, how much money you've got, what material things you have. Let me tell you today, God's impressed with you already because you are His creation. He loves you just as you are. But He offers that gift of salvation that will change you. And He did that through His Son. God loved us. And so as my response to falling in love with Ginger was my asking her to commit ourselves together in the bonds of marriage, God's response to His love for us was making the greatest commitment to us that anyone ever could have when He sent His Son to die for us. That was His only Son, folks. The very best that He had, and He willingly gave Him up so that we as His creation could be saved from hell. Galatians 4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ." He loves us so much, He wants us in the family. He wants us in the family. Before Jesus came, all of us, we were in bondage to the law, the Mosaic law. We talked a little bit about that. Mark alluded to that in our Sunday school lesson this morning, that there were people that were trying to tell the Galatian church that, well, you're not Christians because you're not living up to all of the laws and everything. And that was just absolutely part and parcel of what was occurring in that time. There were people that were trying to make themselves perfect by living up to the standards of a man-made law. And there's not one of those man-made laws that save us. Not a one of them that save us. But this verse says, when we were in bondage to trying to attain something that on our best day we couldn't attain, Jesus came and made a way that we could get out of that bondage, out of that slavery to the law, and not only that, but be adopted as children of God and have that intimate relationship with. That's God's commitment to us that could only be accomplished by Him sending His Son into this world to live among us and to die for our sins on Calvary. But there's another side to this verse, folks. That portion of that verse says, He sent His only begotten Son. That was God's commitment to us. That was God's response for His love to us. But there's another side of this commitment, and that was with His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came on a mission from His Father. At any time along the way, He could have said, Father, they're not worth it. Take me out of this. But He committed Himself even to death on the cross. Picture Jesus on His knees, praying, sweat just pouring down Him in the Garden of Gethsemane when He's praying, Father, paraphrasing, Father, if there's another way, I don't really want to go through this. This is going to be hard. I really don't want to go through this. If there's another way, don't let me have to walk this path. But if this is the only way, then I'm willing to do Your will. Folks, that's love. That is pure love. Pure love. Did you ever stop to think that the people that spit on Jesus, the people that slapped Him, the people that hit Him, the Roman soldiers that whipped Him, the ones that pushed Him down on that rough wooden cross and drove those spikes through His hands and His feet, did you ever stop to think that Jesus was even dying for them? That's powerful. When you stop to think that He loved them that much. And you know what? Before we cast too many looks at them, haven't we all at one point in our lives or another drove a nail in our Savior's hands? Haven't we all spit on Him? Haven't we all made Him sad? But guess what? He still loves us. He still loves us. He willingly went to Calvary for all of us. That last part of the verse is very important. It says that whosoever believes on Him shall have everlasting life. That verse in and of itself shows just how complete the love of God is. When God saves us, He saves us completely. We don't need anybody or anything else. Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and there is no sinner in this world that is beyond saving. Not one. That word, whosoever, incorporates everybody, regardless of anything else. Whosoever. There's no other qualification included in that invitation, folks. When He said whosoever, that means everybody. He doesn't say whosoever has this much in their bank account. Whosoever lives here. Whosoever this or that is whosoever. Every one of us are included in that invitation. Everybody. The great minister Martin Luther, I want to read to you what he said. God then is more earnest for me to be saved than I can. I am to be saved. He so loved the world that He gave His Son, not for saints, not penitents, not the religious, not those who love Him, but the world. Secular men, profane men, hardened rebels, hopeless wanderers, and sinners. He gave not a mere promise or an angel to teach us and not a world to ransom us, but His Son, His only begotten. So much did God love the world, sinners, and even me. I believe this. I must believe it. I believe on Him who says it. How can I then do otherwise but rejoice? He loved us. Now, there is no qualification on who is included, but there is a qualification to obtain the end result, which is everlasting life, and that is to believe. To believe. We believe with our heart. Remember the verse, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We believe with our heart, and when we treasure the Lord's gift of salvation to us, that's where our heart will be. That gift offered to us is everlasting life. Notice that it is not freedom from trials. It's not freedom from trouble, hardships, things that we face on this side of life. But it is assurance to know that when we close our eyes for the last time on this earth, we'll awake face to face with the one that made it all possible. We can enjoy eternity in a place that's perfect in every way with Jesus Christ, God's Son. I read a story one time about a rich banker, and he wanted to spread the gospel to soldiers that were stationed at a military post nearby. But he was told that he could not personally go on post and witness to them. So he went to a local glassmaker, and he had 3-inch mirrors made to send to every soldier. And on the back of that, he had inscribed John 3:16, the verse we read this morning. And underneath that, he had these words, "If you want to see who it is that God loves and for whom he gave his son, look on the other side." Let me ask you something. If I were to look at you this morning, And I'm serious about this. If I look at you and I say these words, "I love you," what's your natural response? "I love you too." Ginger and I have this little thing. I'll tell her, I look at her and say, "Honey, I love you." And she looks at me and says, "I love you the most." She doesn't. 1st of all, God has already told us he loves us. What's our response be? Have you looked at him and said, "I love you too"? He has every right to look at you and me and say, "I love you the most." No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you give, no matter how many times you come through the doors of this church, he loves you the most. He's already said that. And each day, each and every day, he shows us just how much he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his very best, his only begotten Son, that whosoever, everybody that would believe will have eternal life. Can it be made any plainer? Can it be made any simpler? It's just God looking at me and looking at you and saying, "You know what? You're my creation. You're my child. I love you." What's our response to that? This morning, if you're here and if you've never accepted him as your Savior, that gift of salvation is waiting for you right here this morning. If you're here this morning and you feel like you're on an island, maybe you've accepted Christ in your heart, but maybe something has taken away your joy and you feel like you're out on an island away from anybody and no one cares, Father, folks, for both situations, our Lord is still looking at us going, "I love you. I'm right here. I love you." He said it. He's proved it. What's our response? Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we thank you so much that you loved us, that you love us today. Lord, even when we're unlovable, even when we turn our backs on you, even when we fall and we make mistakes, Father, you're always there. You always pick us back up, and your love never fails. We thank you so much for sending your Son to die on Calvary to show us once again just how much you care for us. I pray each and every person in this place today knows you as their personal Savior. But Father, as we come to this time in our service, Lord, where we make a decision, each and every one of us individually, that could literally affect where we spend eternity. Father, I pray that you would speak to every heart here, and that every person, Lord, as we walk out these doors today, know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're in their life, that we're following you, and that if we close our eyes today on this side of eternity, we'll awake in heaven face to face with the one who loved us more than anyone ever has. We thank you, Lord, for telling us that you love us. We thank you for sending your Son to prove it. We thank you for giving the opportunity to everyone that would believe on you to have eternal life. As we have our time of invitation, touch our hearts, change our lives. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.